Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. I'm not a mom yet, but I've had numerous discussions with other moms about motherhood. And there's a consensus. It's a tough job. There's a lot of pressure on moms to be perfect and to do it all. You see it on social media. The perfectly curated baby meals and the cute outfits. It takes a toll on you being a mom, physically, emotionally, and mentally. You're never really sure if you're doing a good job or not, and you worry a lot. In my mid-20s, I used to tell people that I wanted 4 boys, and everyone thought I was crazy. I imagined myself dressing them up in color-coordinated outfits and just having fun. I never thought about motherhood as humbling and as giving you a sense of purpose. And definitely shifting your priorities. Being a mom is hard, and it requires lots of time, sacrifice, energy, commitment. But there are so many moments of pure joy where everything feels great. On today's episode, I am speaking with Anika Elliott. She is an actor, a content creator, and a TV personality. We talked about motherhood, the ups, the downs, and she also shared what she is proudest of. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Anika.
Hello, Cindy. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I am well, all things considered. You know what I mean? Really can't complain too much. I can always complain, but not too much. How are you? It's been a while.
It has. It's been a very long time, but thank you for saying yes to being a guest here.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you, see what's up with you.
Yeah, man. What's not up, I guess.
So, you know, when you're a kid, people always ask, what do you want to do when you want to grow up? What was your answer usually?
I grew up a lot with older people, so like my grandparents, my great aunts, and that kind of stuff. And my grandfather was actually a writer, and he played the violin. He taught me how to play the violin. And at the time, I wanted to be a writer, a violinist, and the prime minister of St. Vincent, which is where I, you know, lived when I was younger. So just, you know, very small goals.
I like that. Prime Minister. Okay.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think I could do that now.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Sometimes I want to be an elected official because there's a myth that you can actually make change. But I think I can make a lot of change in other ways as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a new mom. What has surprised you the most about motherhood?
Oh my goodness, just all of it. It's just weird being a new mom in this time, in this pandemic. So many things. I'm like, if this is not what new parenting, new motherhood would be if we weren't a pandemic. I hope not. So I'm always like, I don't have anything to compare it to. But certainly, so many things. I knew my life was going to change, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I was like, I don't want to have a kid until I feel a bit more ready for it. Because, you know, there's change that's going to come. I didn't anticipate the changes fully to my body, not the way my body looks, how it feels. There was a point where I had like plantar fasciitis, 2 busted knees. My hips are still out of alignment. My back hurts. My shoulders hurt all the time. My rib, like, just out of whack. Like, pregnancy just, like, throws your body out of whack. And it just really surprised me to what extent pelvic floor stuff, like pelvic bones, just pains constantly from a physical perspective. And then also mentally, you know what I mean? Just dealing with perinatal mood disorders and those kinds of things that you just don't, you knew, I knew changes were going to happen too, but to what extent? On the flip side as well, it's just how, you know, you're going to love your kid again, but you don't realize just how much love and absolute devotion and how much I pour into her every day, every second of me, like just that complete giving up of yourself is, it's beautiful, but it's also really like, wow, that's something. So lots of things have surprised me for sure.
Mm-hmm. The people, like other people in your life who are already moms, do you think that you got a lot of advice from them or?
No, no, because everybody lies. They're liars. Nobody tells the real truth. Like every time I was like, mommy, you did not. Oh, you didn't tell me this. Every other day I'm like, you didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me that. Not really. And then there's so much introspection that happens because then I'm like, what kind of friend was I to my friends who had kids before me? Mm. You know, how I just really didn't invest the kind of support I think would have been needed, and certainly the kind of support that I am looking for as well, right? So I'm like, I can't say, oh, woe is me, when what was I doing, right? There's so much in your head situation that happens. But I definitely don't know if I sought enough advice. I'm one of these people, I always like to do things. I'm like, I can figure it out. I did a lot of research about breastfeeding and things you needed for the baby and so forth. But I don't know. I don't know. It's strange because I always say to people, the minute that Rain, that's my daughter, was born, I felt very much like this is what I was supposed to be doing. Mm. I felt like I was going into a role with surety and confidence and stability, unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. And certainly with somebody as well who has, you know, I had a whole career as one thing and then I transitioned to another thing. And you, there's always that insecurities and that sort of like unknown and, you know, you're never quite sure. But I have never felt so sure about something ever. And that's just such a powerful feeling. So my point being is that, yes, I was confident about being a mom and my instincts and that kind of stuff, but there's still things that you don't know, and that has to come along the way that really I couldn't get advice for, I don't think. Because everybody parents differently. Every child is different. Every circumstance is different. Like, I don't want to hear anything from people who aren't parenting in a pandemic. It's just not the same. Don't talk to me if you're not parenting in a pandemic, you know? So it's just different. If you're not breastfeeding, if you chose not to sleep train, there's so many ways that people differ, which is also another reason why you can feel so isolated as well. So I feel like, I don't know if I answered your question about advice, but I didn't have a lot.
You brought up a good point of when you don't have kids yet and you want to support like a friend who's a mom. And I think sometimes we get into this mode of, you know, we show up at the baby shower with gifts. We say congratulations. And then we're like, okay, I'll see you next year.
Right? It's so weird. I feel like there needs to be a handbook. Because like, what do? People always say to me, I don't have to call because like the baby's sleeping and it'll wake up. And there's this reel that I want to make because I'm always like, I wish somebody would call me. I wish I could do something. I wish somebody would come over. But at the same time, also, I'm like, don't call me because I don't want to do anything. I'm so tired. I can't talk.
Right.
Or the baby just fell asleep, or I'm in the middle of putting the baby sleep. So it's just full of all these contradictions. But I don't know. I think mostly I just want to be seen. I think most moms just want to be seen and heard, and for somebody to be like, yo, that's, it's hard and you're doing it. You know what I mean? You kind of just, it's more about that than to necessarily be there all the time. Because sometimes I want to talk to somebody, but I don't want to talk to somebody because I don't feel like explaining the things. Because sometimes that makes me feel worse, having to explain the backstory and the history of this sleep situation I'm having, or trying to wean the my daughter or whatever, right? So it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did. I'm like, how did I support my friends in the past? Besides, like you said, showing up at the birthday parties and that kind of stuff. I don't know. And then I feel sad because I don't know if they reached out to me, if that meant I didn't make myself available. I know how I feel now about reaching out to people who may not necessarily understand. So then I know that then I wasn't one of those people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But one thing I know I did do is you can't make the new mom feel like, you know, she's not a person anymore. Still invite. I always still invite my mom friends to things, and you don't just assume, oh, they're not going to be able to go.
I used to do that, and I didn't realize it, right? Because I'm like, oh, they're busy. She has a kid. She won't be able to come to my, you know, my birthday dinner on a Saturday night. And people are like, no, please invite me. I want to come.
Yeah, I need an excuse to do something, you know? So that's that. Obviously, again, it's a whole other story with the pandemic. Because it ain't going anywhere.
Exactly. What did your parents teach you about parenting?
Nothing. I was raised primarily by my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, we had a village. Like, she had a major village. Mm. So if there's anything she taught me about how you need to lean on others for support. And I think I mentioned, you know, I was raised by just a lot of people around. I was born in Montreal. When we were here, I always see pictures and hear stories about my Auntie Gwen and my Tante Terry, who was there, and just all these people, my mom's sister, my cousins, who we kind of just bounced around between and spent time there, and she just had that support always. And then when we moved to St. Vincent, I think we moved because they moved, to be honest.
Okay.
But the same great aunt who was in Montreal, she moved, and then I had another one there. So it was just always people around. And I did not take that advice to heart at all, because I certainly do not have a village in any way, shape, or form. So it's just that my husband and I, and obviously it's, again, harder when you're isolated and people can't necessarily come because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge thing that my mom taught me. And also just to love with encouragement and confidence. And anything I ever wanted to do, my mom was like, sure. I remember saying, I want to start a neighborhood library. And I decided to put stickers on all my books so that we can share it in the community, and all the books that people had given me. Or, like I said, I wanted to play the violin or the piano. I wanted to do dancing. I wanted to do public speaking. Just any, whatever I thought of I wanted to do. There was never a really, or you just gave a piano last week. Are you going to try, you know? Even though my dad wasn't around in that regard, he always still, sent a card because he won this thing, or because he tried this, or send a new book for the library or whatever. So, encouragement.
Mm. How do you think you measure success as a parent? Can you even do that?
Exactly. That's a really hard question. Because how do you measure success as anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or what is happiness? There's so many questions in that way. I don't know. And I think it changes based on the phase that you're in and the time period and what you need. A success one day might be getting through the day without crying. The mom, not the child, right? Success one day might be getting through the day, and this is a lot about what I do, without holding high expectations. It's something I'm constantly trying to work on with myself, lowering my expectations and lowering my desire for perfection. Going through a day where I am fine with how things unfold and being flexible and going with the flow, mm-hmm. these days is a big success for me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, successful parenting, the kid, she's alive and well. And, you know, you would hope that you're raising a good person and that kind of stuff. But she's still so young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I like what you said about just going with the flow. Because I think if you're somebody like pre-baby that plans everything and then you have a kid and you're like, this is how today's going to be, you know, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., this is what we're going to do. And then it doesn't happen and then you fall apart and then you're like, I'm a failure, you know? So, yeah.
It's a thing, for sure. And that's why I think I mentioned the perinatal mood stuff. I've had and still deal with postpartum anxiety, which has been a big thing for me. When things don't go as planned, you then deal with all the overthinking and all the, sometimes for me it's rage, sometimes it's anxiety, mm-hmm. yeah. but connected to the parenting and how things go with raising a kid. So going with the flow is hard for me, like you said, because I've always been a bit of a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's tricky.
What are you proudest of?
In life?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens. I don't know. If I think about the times that I've been proudest, it's the when I go with my gut, when I do things that I want to do fully, when I go with my heart, when I show up as a real person, authentic, my true authentic self, in those moments, I feel most proud. And that could be just like a real Instagram post where I'm not hiding anything, or it could be quitting my job, a long-term job, because that's what felt right to me and felt true and was allowed me to embark on a journey that would help to peel back some of the layers of myself. So again, I'm proudest of the times where I stand up, not stand up for myself, yes, obviously, but stand up and step into who I really am, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. I like how you said, like, being your true authentic self, because I think it's so important, especially nowadays with, like, you know, social media. You're not sure who's who.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't, 100%.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. And this is my field of business, right? So I feel like we're on the precipice of, you know, influencers and people like me being more open, certainly with mental health, and something I want to do more this year, which is one of the big things that I'm setting up to do, and I'm trying to find the verbiage to make that shift in the way that I talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing a lot more people being open and setting boundaries with their audiences and with brands for taking breaks and balances,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of things, right? Which is, I think, is really important. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. As easy as people say, I just want to be my true authentic self. I just want to be true and authentic. It's like, what does that even really mean?
Yes.
When you've been living not on the surface for so long?
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't know what that mm-hmm. looks like. But you can try, and you can, even saying that, people want me to show up as true authentic, but I actually don't know what that is yet. That's fine to say that. And I'm going to continue to try, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't show up as somebody else or just like what's trendy.
Yeah.
You know? But it's very difficult.
It is. And I look at, for example, like Instagram, when it first came out, I feel like everybody was just taking pictures of their food. You know, we went out for supper. This is what I have. And then people were taking pictures of them traveling. And then now I feel like it's just a place where people are like, you know, I'm just trying to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Which is cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really cool to see, because you can then see yourself in other people. And everybody just wants to, again, I said before, being a mom, you just want to be seen. I'm just constantly looking for people to say me too. Yeah, Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Just when somebody says same, you're just like validated. You're just like, okay, so it's okay to be me in this form or this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so every time people show up, you find a little bit of you and you feel more validated as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Anika, yeah. This was fun. Thank you for being here.
Yay, thank you for having me. So good to talk to you.
I know.
That was such a great conversation I had with Anika. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.